G-0, Ford McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. As citizens around Earth got on with their daily business under a huge cloud of uncertainty relating to the highly public abduction of ICA Chairman William Godfrey and the unwitnessed but since confirmed disappearances of Dan McCarthy and Tara Ford, the looped-in few in Birchwood, Colorado counted up the minutes since Dan and Tara's latest departure. There was nothing to count down to, unfortunately, and just as frustratingly, since no one knew precisely when they would bravely cross the gate or how long after doing so they would be able to come home. Fear wasn't quite the word, but an intense unease filled the air now that the moment of truth felt so close, with Dan, Tara, and their companion Billy Kendrick all so far away. Leisha was the best pilot they could ask for, though, as Clark took pains to remind everyone, and clear evidence from both Antarctica and New Birchwood pointed towards a safe, brief, and hopefully uneventful crossing. After Emma relayed her experience with Piper and Melly on the mothership, even including Godfrey in the conversation without going out of her way to reveal in any great detail the nature of Piper's earlier uplift-related issues, the mood was somewhat lifted. She took care not to overpromise or deliver details the others didn't need, but the lifting of her own demeanor was so evident as to be positively contagious. In reality, no words would have been necessary to tell anyone that the news was good. Emma's faith in the goodness of the messengers was stronger than ever following this experience, and she felt surprisingly calm about the issue Leisha had taken Dan and Tara to deal with immediately after bringing her and Piper home from the mothership in the opposite direction. Clark, talking primarily to his more concerned father, also reminded everyone of how helpless they'd all felt when Dan and Tara were on New Kerguelen the first time, or Dan and Billy more recently. Dread and catastrophic thinking about bad things that hadn't happened yet and never would only brought unnecessary pain and suffering, he said. And the real thing everyone should have been thinking about was what kinds of things might be lying in wait behind the false wall of Phil Norris's basement. This last comment had brought smiles all round, especially from the older duo. Within 10 more minutes, Henry McCarthy and Walter Byrd even made the short trip to New Kerguelen Bar and Grill, having opted to open the doors with one of the backup master keys Phil had given each of them many moons ago. They planned to stick to the line of not knowing where Phil was if anyone asked, and despite some initial misgivings, Emma agreed with their idea. There was little genuine utility behind it, and neither man claimed there was, but they said it was what Phil, a real show-must-go-on man, if ever there was one, would have wanted. It also gave them something to do rather than stare at the living room's projector while the biggest event of all played out untold miles away from any cameras and utterly beyond the public's knowledge, and she certainly saw the merit in that. A crowd would be waiting at the door, keen to get inside the popular local haunt, so the men wasted no time as soon as the idea arose. Now, the house felt far quieter than it had for a while. Emma was in the kitchen with Piper and William Godfrey, a sentence no one could have expected would come true as little as 24 hours earlier, while Clark and Chip Petrovich sat in the living room. Timo Fiori and Alessandro Bonucci remained at the Fiori Frontieri building in Colorado Springs, obediently waiting for Clark to reach out to them, as he had firmly requested, so the current population sat at a recent low of 5. On the couch and tuned to ACN, where they were pleased to learn that reports of only very small-scale opportunistic looting in the aftermath of Godfrey's disappearance had come in overnight, Clark and Chip soon found their relatively calm demeanors fading in an instant. The news that hit them in this way was not about societal disorder, nor anything directly alien-related. Rather, it came when the screen was filled by a face familiar to Clark from his days in the police force and to Chip from his legal dealings with all kinds of questionable characters, one whose name had come up very recently. The accompanying headline struck like a mallet to their skulls. Colorado crime lord James West dead at 41. In a single instant, Clark felt his greatest hope of finding those who had authorized Phil's murder being popped like a balloon by a needle. The brazenness of intruding upon the home of someone like Phil Norris was one thing, and one that would never be forgiven. But that the people at the top of the chain had gone so far as to take out an underworld figure on the level of James West was highly alarming. Violent deaths of ruthless kingpins as powerful as West, of whom there were fortunately few, occurred perhaps once or twice per decade anywhere in the country. Coincidence was so unimaginably unlikely as to be unworthy of serious consideration, but the real point was that for those higher up to be confident of avoiding reprisal, they had to be even higher up than Clark had been thinking. With James West dead, the key takeaway from Leisha's deep-dive telepathic interrogation of the intruders at Chip Petrovich's house in Denver was out of the window. Chip and Clark had been determined to find those responsible for the crimes before they had the name. But now that the path forward had been in their sights only to be consumed by the earth around it, their sense of loss and frustration was acute. Chip Petrovich rose to his feet.
Clark, if it's the last thing I do, I'm going to find these fuckers and drop them at your feet.
Not if I beat you to it, Clark said, sharing an appreciative look of understanding with a man he knew could be a helpful ally as well as a friend going forward.
As he heard movement in the kitchen, Clark quickly grabbed the remote once again and flicked to the sports news.
Good call, Chip said under his breath.
He was right. At this point, with Dan and Tara about to take a leap of destiny across the gateway to Sanctuary, bad news was the last thing anyone needed. No one could act on it right away, which was often the telling factor when Emma was deciding when to burden people with a negative development and when to withhold it for their own good, so Clark felt no guilt. He also recalled William Godfrey's comment that the group, and specifically Leisha, should have acted fast to interrogate West.
When a plan goes as wrong as this one did for these intruders and their backers, things get complicated very quickly, the ICA chairman had said.
In hindsight, it was so obvious. West was the only name the missing intruders knew, so he was the only loose end for those who had ordered the intrusions and naturally assumed something had gone wrong. The revelation of West's name had come just moments before Leisha left Birchwood in response to a weak communications signal from Sacco, which Clark and Emma had firmly told him to pursue in person without hesitation. And while he didn't expect Godfrey to pull out an I told you so at the worst possible moment, particularly after the way he had decisively humanized himself in the group's eyes by reminding them of his presence when Dan almost overshared about Piper, the last thing Clark wanted to do right now was introduce any wedges between the group. When Dan and Tara were home safe, like so much else, they could move on to handling this.
We think it's happening now, Godfrey announced, presenting himself at the kitchen door.
Clark and Chip rushed over, entering the kitchen as quickly as they could. Emma still seemed calm, the first thing their eyes looked for, and Piper wore a focused expression.
Da-da go?
Piper said, seemingly asking no one in particular before looking straight up at Emma as the others hurried to gather round.
He is going, Emma said. But he'll be back soon.
A moment ago, she said, Da-da, ta-ta, lis.
Godfrey whispered to the men, filling them in. Emma, all of a sudden trusting him, had revealed enough after their return from Melly's testing that Godfrey now knew that Piper McCarthy could somehow discern Dan's general status.
Now she's adding go, so they must be ready to cross the gate.
Go,
Piper exclaimed decisively, this time to Clark.
Da-da, ta-ta, les. Go!
Emma bounced her gently in her arms.
They went?
With a falling expression and quiet tone that no one wanted to read too much into but no one could miss, Piper looked back at Emma.
Dada no he. Dada no. Dada.
Clark and Emma both gulped. All anyone could do was wait.